I'm James, and my last name is Junior, in case you were wondering. Some people don't know that oftentimes. Even people that I've known for years don't know that oftentimes. So my last name is Junior. I kind of feel bad for Janelle, but... because for my whole life, I've had people ask, like, Junior? Your last name's Junior? And yes, it is. And then they go through this whole thing. Wow, that'd be cool if your dad's name was James, and you'd be James Junior. You know, I can see the thought process working. And even people I've known for a long time, this happens. And then I tell them, well, my dad's name is James. And they're like, oh, James Junior Junior. And then I'm like, no, sorry. My dad's middle name is Rufus, and my mom wouldn't give me that middle name. So anyways, she's going to have to share in that joy. So this is Janelle. Her last name currently is Schmidt. And on July 12th of this upcoming year, she'll be Janelle Jr. So we met almost exactly 2 years ago at a Super Bowl gathering, one of our friends, and so the Seahawks unfortunately didn't make it that year, but good things began that day. So so she was living in Seattle at that time, and now we live about five houses from each other in Bellingham, and she is a great support, one who loves the Lord and prays for me and challenges me and encourages me. So I'm grateful to have God's made me a better man because of her, so I'm grateful. So there's some faces I do recognize here and some that I don't. I'll tell you the story in a little bit, but my roots come from this church, and I'm pretty thankful for that, and I'm thankful for what God has done in my life, but also in this church over the years, and I'm thankful that Pastor Dan would entrust me this opportunity to come and share. He kind of said to me, you know, oh, you want to come? Can you come and speak? And I don't really speak very often, so I wanted to say no, but I said yes. And then he said, you know, share some scripture, but we want to hear some stories. So currently I work at Western Washington University, which this is, I've got a few pictures of the campus, and I work with college students, and there's about 14,000 students there. And there's a good group of believers on campus, but there's probably 13,500 students that really don't know Christ, aren't actively serving Him. And so this is some of the scenes on a sunny day. It's really nice. People are out hanging out, frisbee, hacky sack, four square, and many students are out. And I work for a group called Campus Christian Fellowship, who... we have a student group of about 400 students that meet on Friday nights. And that's not our main, we wouldn't call that our main ministry, I guess. Our main ministry is small groups, and we have small groups in every dorm. So I work with a staff. This is a staff that I work with. And all of these are, we're all full-time missionaries to the college campus. And we've kind of extended our outreach this year to not just Western Washington University, but also to Skagit Community College, Skagit Valley, and also to Whatcom Community College. And so you'll get a chance to hear from a few students this today through video. So anyways, just wanted to share a little bit about that. And the passage that I chose to speak on today was John chapter 6, where Jesus had just finished doing the miracle where he fed 5,000. It's pretty, pretty amazing miracle. He fed 5,000 with loaves of bread and two fish. And I'm trying to think of what that would look like, and I can't really. So it's pretty amazing. But what we learn is that it's kind of a picture of something that happened in the Old Testament, where God brought His people out into the desert, and He provided manna for them for 40 years. Pretty amazing thing that God would do. It was something that where His people had to rely on Him regularly. If they tried to take too much in one day, the food would spoil, except for the day before the Sabbath, where He would provide for them. And so this passage is talking a bit about the idea that God desires to fulfill not just our physical needs, which He did with the manna in the Old Testament, but also our deepest needs, our spiritual need as well. And so Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life, and that's kind of the focus that I want to focus on this morning. Jesus as a life giver. God is a life giver, and through his bread, which is through Christ, we receive life. And so that's what I want to speak on, and I want to share some stories with you from my experience in my own personal life, and then also in where God has me up at Western Washington University. So hope to encourage you today through what God is doing in the lives of others and what he's done in my life. So let me pray. Lord, we come before you grateful for the fact that your son sacrificed his life for us, that he would lay down his life on our behalf so that we might find life, Lord. And his desire wasn't just that we would find eternal life after we die, but his desire was that we would have life and life to the full while we're here as well. And so I'm grateful, Lord, that I have found as I have followed you that it is not just the future life that I'm looking forward to, Lord, but you have changed and transformed and given me new life now. And I'm thankful for the fact that you offer that to each and every person, Lord, if we would just come to your table, if we would just come and receive the bread that you have to give, and that is Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored, that you would receive praise this morning for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Thanks for this fellowship, Lord, that even though this isn't where I regularly worship, Lord, that because we have a bond in Christ, we can worship together as a family. And so I'm grateful, Lord. I just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So since we're going to talk about life a little bit today, I guess I wanted to start asking the question, what are some things that you enjoy or like most about life? Well, this is where you get to interact and speak to me. What are some things that you enjoy most about life?
Laughing and playing with
your
family.
That's good. Anything else?
Cutting wood.
Cutting wood? I like that too.
Music?
Gardening. That's great. Anything else?
Being outside in God's wonderful nature.
I love that too. It's amazing that God created all these things in life. He created things in life to point us towards him. And I guess in this passage, Jesus is talking a little bit about, he says to his people, he says to the people he's talking to in this passage, don't work for food that spoils, but work for things that will go towards eternal life. And his idea is that he comes to give life. He comes to give things that will fulfill us for the long term and not just things that that are kind of temporal. And although he does enjoy those things and likes that we enjoy them as well, I guess my question is, as I was thinking about what are the things that I enjoy most about life, I asked the question, man, do these things make me want to, do I enjoy them so much that they make me want to sing? Do they just rise up and well up praise in me towards God? And I found that in my own life, that does happen. But as I lead, I occasionally lead worship for the college ministry, and sometimes I wonder why it is that we are singing, Why is it that we sing? Do we sing because when we get together and we sing, we receive something, or do we sing because we've already gotten something? And I believe that that both are true, but I believe that we should sing because God has given us life. He's given us things that point us towards him, and he's given me a transforming life. And so today I'd like to talk about the life that God gives. And to do that, I'd like to go back to the very beginning, to the beginning of, I guess, history as we know it, back to Genesis. And the first words of the Bible are, "In the beginning, God created." Before there was anything else,
God was there. He created all things that we know out of nothing. The mountains and the skies, the trees, and life was all formed by His hands. It's an amazing thing to me. He created order out of chaos, light from darkness. He separated land from the sea, and then He formed man out of dust. He formed him, and then He breathed life into him. It's an amazing story to me that God created. And in the beginning, He created all that we know. And what we see in Genesis is that where God's Word is and where God's Spirit is, life comes out of darkness. He breathes life into things that have no life. And He's a God that loves to create. He loves to give life. He loves to bring it forth, not only in His creation, but in His people. And Jesus says that He came that we might have life in abundance. He didn't come that we might have some new life, but He came that we might have life to the full. You guys remember the rich young ruler, right? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, well, I mean, if you look at his life and what the scripture says about him, it seemed like he had his, as far as the physical provision, he had provision, he had it going on. But he came to Jesus and he said, where do I find life? Where do I find life and true life? Long-lasting life. And Jesus basically says to him that one can be completely impoverished, but as long as he has Christ, that he'll find life. That's all he needs. Not that Jesus doesn't care about our physical needs, but the rich young ruler, you know, he had all that stuff provided for him. But he realized that there was something other than physical needs that he physical ones that. That he needed to take care of. But he couldn't bring it. What Jesus said to him, he couldn't bring himself to change in the way that Jesus challenged him. Jesus offered me that life. And I guess I want to just share that story with you. Because probably most of you don't kind of know where I come from and my roots in this church. And so about 10 years ago, a girl named Allie shared the word of life with me. She boldly shared with me, even though I was openly opposed to God, and even though my ears were closed to the truth she shared. After our initial conversation, she would send me letters telling me about how God had brought her to life and about how God wanted to do the same for me. And one night, a couple years later, I began to read the letters that she wrote me. And I noticed that on the bottom of one of these letters that she wrote, there were some four references to the Bible. And I hadn't noticed them the years before when I had read it. But I began to read. And at that point, as I read that I might understand what she was talking about, what this life was about that she was talking about. And also, I wanted to sharpen my argument against Christ. So it's kind of like this dual. But somehow the Lord worked in my heart, and I began to realize that I was hungry for something more than I had. It was a hunger. It's a hunger that exists in everyone, but not everybody realizes that they have that hunger. I hadn't realized that I was hungry. I needed something more. So I kept reading the Word night after night, and I did so kind of in secret. I didn't want people to know that I was kind of checking this thing out. My parents, I didn't want them to know, so I would only read at night. And this went on for a few weeks until one day I decided to pray. And even though I would have said I didn't believe in God, I figured it couldn't hurt and that maybe if I prayed, something would happen. And indeed it did. That day, as I opened my heart to God, I realized that if you're going to pray to a God you don't believe in, you probably think that maybe he's there, right? So I began to understand that day what it was that the rich young ruler desired that he couldn't bring himself to accept. It was true life. Life like I had never known. The moment that I began to pray, God brought me to life. And I had taken the bread that Jesus offered, that is himself. And it began to change me immediately. And this is quite a battle in me at that point because I wanted to change, but I didn't want to change. And I didn't really want to believe that there was a God. So I was kind of like, no, this is not happening. This is not happening. But I knew it was a serious, I knew it was a serious thing. But I started, I was in Big Bear, California at this point. It was July 22nd, 1999. And I began to look around at the creation. As soon as I started praying, I was looking around and I was just like, whoa. I felt like, this is how I describe it often. I felt like God had put glasses on me. Like, I didn't know, you know, if you don't know that you need glasses, you don't know any different. But as soon as you get glasses, for those of you that have glasses, you notice like, whoa, I didn't know there was pine needles, you know, I didn't know. I felt like that happened to me with people, with all this kind of stuff. And at that point, I could no longer deny it. I could no longer deny my hunger. And I understood that this bread of life that Jesus offered was too good to pass up. He said that's what he came to do. That if we came to him, that we would no longer hunger or thirst. And it's not in a physical sense, but a spiritual one. And he really took care of me. The weekend after that, I came to this church. I'd met Johanna in one of my classes, in a math class, and I knew that her dad was a pastor, and so I figured, oh, we better find out what's going on here. And so that next week, I came to this very body of believers. This is the first community of faith that brought me in and taught me about the faith, taught me what it means to follow Jesus. And there were some pretty hard lessons that I learned here as God was forging and changing and bringing about new things in me. But I learned a lot through this family. And God has used this fellowship to nurture new life, the new life that had been given to me. So I'm pretty thankful. We met over in the building, or in the school over there, as before this building. And then I went off to college, just a year old in the Lord. Still young in my faith and young in experience. Had a strong foundation, but still fairly vulnerable. Just as college brings a lot of new experiences. But there was a strong foundation that was laid here. A love for the Word and a love for God. It was just fostered real well in me here. So going off there, I was really a young missionary going off to the college campus. Not what I am now as a missionary, but just a student that had a desire to see others receive the life that I had received. And shortly after I arrived at Western, I was welcomed by a community of faith. I was brought in, and there I was mentored and discipled in the faith. I began to understand what it was, this life that Jesus had offered. And now I get to work full-time bringing that to students. I wish you could see this community of faith. Try to imagine a secular university who denies the presence and existence of God over and over again. They separate the church from state. And really what that means is that they separate God from the idea of learning. Which we know, if God's true, it's just, if God's real, you just can't do that. But that's what the university does regularly. But in the midst of this place, I want you to imagine, this is kind of hard to see, maybe you can turn the lights down. This is Arntzen Hall 100. It's the largest lecture hall on campus. I'd like you to imagine hundreds and hundreds of students filing into this lecture hall every Friday night. And here's maybe if I can get it working. There it is. Here's a picture as students are filing in on a Friday night. They're seeking to find life. They're seeking to know God, who alone can fill their hunger, and seeking to further the kingdom of God. And eventually, every one of these students will leave from Western and go out into the world as ambassadors of the light. They'll bring Jesus with them. Some of them will go on to teach your children or your grandchildren. Some of them might become your co-workers. Some of them will go on to lead this country. And some will go to bring the gospel to places where it has yet to be preached. It's quite amazing to see students reach for Christ, trained in the faith, and sent out into the world. It is an amazing deal. I'm so thankful. One of the ministries that impresses me most on campus is a tradition called Morning Sing. And For nearly 30 years, students have regularly gathered to sing out praises in Red Square, to openly proclaim their faith and openly praise God. And to me, it's a picture that no matter how hard the university tries to exclude God, that they can't. Wherever God's word is and wherever His spirit is, there is life. And we'll find life there. Over the years, the witness and boldness of these students have drawn some students and even professors to the faith. As these songs waft up through the windows of the professors that surround Red Square, even Christian professors are encouraged to live out their faith even more boldly on the campus. The bread of life, the provision of our deepest needs, has made us want to sing. Even to sing out in public where people will walk by and think that we're weird, God in His life-giving presence is being proclaimed on campus. It is an amazing thing. It's kind of weird to be out and praise God singing and have people walk by. Like, what's going on over there? There's weird people. Even some Christians, you know, they'll walk by and be like, I want to join them, but I don't know. But God's message is being proclaimed on campus, and it's amazing. I wish you could see it. I want to tell you a story quickly about a graduate student at Western. Every Friday night we gather, and I've gained some skills that have to do with running sound and the technical stuff. So I get to set up all the sound and everything, bring it all to the lecture hall on Friday nights. And the worship band was playing, kind of practicing. There's nobody else in there but me, the sound guy, and the band. And a young guy pops his head in and like looks around, what's going on? Lecture hall's empty except for there's a band playing, which you're not used to seeing in a lecture hall. But and he kind of popped in, and I looked over at him, and we kind of made eye contact, so we were kind of like linked up at that point. He couldn't just walk away without, I don't know, it's just kind of awkward. So he walked in, and he came over and sat down, and I was like, hey, I'm James, you know, started talking to him, and he's telling me he's a grad student here, and he was just working in this building late, and he heard the music, and so he came down, wanted to check it out, see what's going on. And he asked what it was. I told him it was Campus Christian Fellowship, and he said, oh, I've met a few students from there before. And that night, we continued to talk. I get kind of stressed like right before the service because there's all these technical things. I want to make sure it runs smoothly. It's not a distraction. But he stayed, and we talked while I was trying to do stuff. All the way up until CCF started. He stayed all the way through CCF, and then we talked for about an hour and a half afterwards. And it was quite a delightful thing as he was not a believer. We found out that he, I'll read his story. After that night, a friend and I invited him to our fall camp, which was coming up the next weekend. And, which is kind of I wouldn't expect a new person to be like, oh yeah, we'll drive down to Marysville with hundreds of students that I don't know, and they're all Christians and I'm not. And so, but he said, sure, yeah, I'll come. All right, great. Welcome. And so I wanted to read a response. He posted something on the internet after his experience with us. And so I just wanted to share with you kind of his thoughts afterwards. He says, I know that for some, it might seem a bit odd for me to attend a Campus Christian Fellowship camp, and further odd for me to have been so excited about it. But things in my life have been simply telling me to reach out more as loneliness tries to hold me down. I attended my first CCF meeting a week ago and discovered that contrary to opinions that I'd heard previously, CCF is very welcoming, open, safe, and loving community, free of harsh judgment and evangelical preaching. In fact, they seem to live the Christianity at least espouse it in a way that I believe Jesus intended. Collective action to alleviate suffering and increase interconnection between people, in essence, to build community. Camp itself was an excellent experience or opportunity to get to know people of faith at Western in a safe, intimate space and time. Coming with the best possible motive, we all were able to respect each other and listen to each other. I was asked far more than I was told, and felt free from judgment, even when my views stood in direct contrast to those around me. Why am I writing this? because I feel socially isolated from my spirituality. I love God, and the way he spells God is big G, little g, O-D. So he's kind of got this, he's got a really interesting viewpoint on God. But I love God, and I want to love God with other people. I'm not a Christian for three very specific reasons, but I can spend time with Christians and love God along with them as they love Jesus. I just want it to be known that we can still learn and may have much more to learn from those who believe in very different ways from ourselves. So without telling anyone out there what to do, as that contradicts my moral code, I encourage those of you who love the all and want to have a relationship with the all in a more explicit and manifest way to really seek it. Just because we don't fit ourselves into a specific belief structure does not mean that we cannot learn and grow from there. If you come with love and engage with those who come with love, only love shall grow. We must be able to wear our best possible motive and shed our preconceived notions. I'm ready to start loving God out loud. And if you are too, I want to welcome you with all my heart. No time like the present to start being aware and thankful. So when I meet students like this, I'm excited and troubled. This hunger that Jesus addresses in this passage, this hunger not just for physical needs, but for the spiritual needs as well. He recognizes that he's got a hunger in him. He talked about loneliness is trying to hold him down. And as he reflected on camp, I mean, it was pretty clear that that was the case. But I'm troubled at the same time because the three reasons why he's not a believer are probably the three most essential aspects of our faith, the truths of our faith. And so he's got this desire, this hunger to know God, but he just can't quite see that Christ is the way. And so I enjoy talking to people like him, and there's plenty of students like him at Western. Students who, if you couldn't tell, I don't tell people what to do because that's against my moral code. That's pretty running rampant at Western and really across our nation at least. But it's just troubling to me because God wants to offer this guy true life. Life where he is fulfilled to his deepest core. God wants to give him the true manna of heaven. And so for students like this, we continue to pray. We continue to seek, continue to converse with, that they might receive true life. So I'm thankful. He actually got involved in one of our small groups and has been going to that. But we still pray that he would come to know Christ. There's another student that I'd like to introduce you to. Her name is Sydney, and she's she goes to Whatcom Community College, which is one of the outreaches that we have. And she was not a believer. It was 2 years ago, my first year on staff, we decided to send a team from Whatcom Community College down to New Orleans to do Hurricane Katrina relief, and we decided that it wouldn't just be a Christian team, that we would open it up very purposefully to non-believers as well, but that we would train up the Christians to what does it mean to relate and to conversate and to move and all that kind of stuff. And so this girl went on a trip, obviously, because she wanted to do something good for the world. And maybe I'll just let her tell you. So if we could turn the lights down real quick. This is Sydney.
Hi, my name's Sydney, and I'm a student up here in Bellingham, and I want to tell you my story. And so before I met Jesus, I was very lonely, didn't know how to have healthy friendships, I was very confused about my gender identity and my sexual identity. I didn't really have anybody in my life that could nurture me or guide me through the time of my teenage years really well. And so when I went to community college, I went on a trip to help Hurricane Katrina relief with a group of college students, and it was a Christian group of college students. And so the Lord started calling me while I was out there and kind of getting my interest. And so a few weeks later after that, I was able to accept him and let him come into my life. And then when he did, he showed me a new way of, I don't know, relating to people, a new way of just living, a purpose. And he gave me a bunch of friends that I could be friends with and learn how to form healthy friendships with them. He also began opening my heart to where I could let him affirm me in my femininity, and he showed me that I can, that they're growing me to become more of a woman of God that he created me to be. So now, I, you know, as I'm continuing growing, because he's never done, he's God is he's entrusted me to work at to lead a small group at community college, so that I can share his love with the girls there, and so that they can have a new life with him, like he has given me.
So that's Sydney, and I wish you could meet her. She was nervous and tired when she was doing this, but she is one of the most joy-filled young ladies that I know. It's evident that as she came, accepted the Word of God, and you know, ate the true manna, that God has really brought new life in her. So I'm thankful for stories like that. So earlier I asked the question, why is it that we sing? Why do we sing? And I believe that we sing because we do receive something. But I believe that the primary reason we should sing is because we've already gotten something. God has given us life. If you know Jesus, you've already been given life. He has given us life. He's given you the true bread from heaven. It doesn't just fill our stomachs, but it fills our soul. It fills our deepest hungers and our deepest longing. On December 15th, it's kind of hard to see. On December 15th, I asked my best friend Janelle to marry me, and she said yes. Actually, she said yes, please. What a day that was. For those of you that are married, do you remember that day? Do you remember what it felt like to have said to another person that you want to spend the rest of your life with them, and for them to reciprocate those desires? For me, it was one of the most amazing feelings, the promise of a committed life together. And can I just tell you that we were pretty giddy that day? If you would have been there, you might have seen us, let's see, you might have seen us doing a little engagement dance. We were pretty excited. You might have heard a song that I wrote for her, a song that that's telling her, or that told her, that I can't even imagine life without her. The love for and commitment to each other and the thought of a life together made me want to sing. I'm insecure about songwriting, but just that kind of stuff is this kind of love and commitment has welled up songs from within me, and even made me want to dance a little bit. But even more significant than that day was July 22nd, 1999, the day that I accepted my Savior's gift of new life. And it makes me want to sing regularly. The bread of life is so good. It is real good. And God wants us all to know how good it is. And if it's something that doesn't make us want to sing, then I'm not sure that we've tasted the true manna from God. Maybe for some of you it would make you want to do other things than sing. But the idea that God, as we eat from the true manna, that it wells up within us a response of praise. Maybe some of us just need to be reminded how good it is. And perhaps as we take communion in a few minutes, we can be reminded of Jesus' words. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And that is a good truth. So I want to leave you with two things. The first thing is wondering if you remember this kind of thing as a child. I don't know if you guys did this, but I did. Obviously, I wasn't a little girl like that, but feeding the ducks, you know? As I did a little research on feeding ducks, I learned that it's not really the best for ducks, but it sure is fun for kids, right? I remember as a kid going out and taking handfuls and like throwing it out to the ducks, and it was something that brought me a lot of joy. Brought me a lot of joy to do this kind of thing, to see them go after the food. And I think it would be great if we would get the same kind of joy from taking handfuls of the bread of life and offering it to those who are hungry. Maybe they don't know they're hungry yet, but I'll tell you that the bread of life doesn't get moldy. It doesn't spoil. I had letters from Allie in my closet for a couple years, but when I realized that I was hungry, the bread of life was still there, and it was still as good as ever. So I say, let's give out this bread often. Let's take what Jesus has given us and share it with students. Like for me, with students like this grad student, with people like Sydney. For you, it could be coworkers or people that are in your neighborhood. Let's just share this bread often. And it's my hope that just like these kids who love to feed the ducks, that we would get joy from doing this. Joy from sharing what God has given us. And lastly, I'd like to thank you for making it possible for me to be an ambassador of Christ to Western. You faithfully supported me in this calling, and I'm so grateful. Not only did you nurture me as a young believer, but you supported me in the work that God has called me to. So my story is really your story as well. The story of this young grad student as he is on this journey where hopefully he will come to realize where true life comes from. That's your story. Sydney's story is your story. You might not have been there with these students, but you helped to make it possible. So, thank you so much for allowing or for enabling me to be able to go there. I'd like to sing a song. I don't have the guitar plugged in and stuff, but maybe I'll just play. It's a song that exhibits an attitude of my heart that has been there since I came to Christ. Christ has welled up an attitude of gratefulness in me. Ooh, maybe this will work. And so I just like to sing this song, leave this song with you. I don't have words for it up there or anything, but I'm just going to sing it. That's all right. Is that okay? Oh, also, part of the reason I'm doing... Dan asked me, oh, maybe you should play a song. Part of it's because I never played guitar before. Joyce made me. She didn't make me. She just said, you should play guitar. I can't, Joyce. And then she was like, here's a guitar. Here's some guitar music. Just try it for 6 weeks. And here I am. So I'm going to share with you what she shared with me. So... I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, turned me around, how He set my feet, yes, on solid ground. And it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And when I think about the Lord, how He raised me, how He saved me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the
the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. And it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise.